Hi, this question is for Dr. Masala. I just wonder, how do you generate the peak AOS model? And you say the peak start working, so do you have any data shows that the behavior recovery improvement actually is from the cell you transplanted, we don't know what's the reason for that.
If I understood the question correctly, the efficacy studies will be done in a rat transgenic model of SOD. This is ALS model. And the PIC model will be just used to scale up the optimal dosing. So we'll use the mini PIC model as a safety model to come up with the optimal dosing in a translational process once we move to clinical trial. No. Minipig is just used for safety and dose escalation.
Okay, I see Mahendra Rao has hijacked a microphone over there. So. Would you like to run the meeting now?
Just a quick technical question for Dr. Verma. So, you know, you pointed out that any cell can become like a tumorigenic cell when you do this. Is this true for post-mitotic cells as well? Did you do the experiment in culture with?
So we did both. I didn't have the time to tell you. So we did it both in the case I showed you, the glial one. But if we do the same with neuron in the culture in vitro and actually have a neuron-positive cell introduce the sets of genes in that case, we exactly get the tumors. Their pathology is slightly different, what comes from neuron versus glial, but they make exactly. So those are truly post-mitotic cells. So it doesn't. So that's precisely the question, that it doesn't have to be a dividing cell. It's a post-mitotic cell which has perfect ability to go on to become a glioblast tumor.
Because that's been hard for making iPSC. Right?
That's why we have a heck of a time to get a paper published, but there's enough data to get it done now.
It's exciting.
Thank you.
So this question for Martin. So most of the neurodegenerative diseases that one is focusing on are occurring in elderly or in older individuals, the majority of whom are going to be positive for cytomegalovirus infection. And as soon as you immunosuppress them, you're going to reactivate the cytomegalovirus. And the cells, which are these neuronal precursor cells, as well as particularly astrocytes, are very susceptible to infection. Are you including in your models that you're doing now, in terms of the safety, a cytomegalovirus infection on top of this to see what you're going to have to do in these patients when you then go into the human?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. We don't have that component in our study. As far as what I can say from all the SOD rats which we use, we always run also control group where we don't do cell transplantation, but we do regular immunosuppression. But we don't have that component adding, you know, that question if there is, there's some triggering of some silent viral infection. But maybe Nick can comment on that because they are running the clinical trial with in patients with immunosuppression. And I don't know if how long, but I think that Nick will comment on that later. Or you can comment now.
I mean, that may be something controlled by eligibility or unless you want to.
We have actually been doing,
pre-screening that goes into transplant recipients ahead of time. So that is a really important part of this, trying to make sure that patients have been adequately immunized and looking at their sort of infection profile ahead of time as part of selection for going into the study. But we have not had any kind of reactivation viral infections. And frankly, there's a good precedent for this in whole organ transplants. I will get back to you on that. My wife is an infectious disease transplant specialist, and I generally so I've kind of turfed this to her. But they're going. I don't know if we're screening them out, but we're subjecting them to the same kind of screening that they would have prior to whole organ transplant. You know, for the same reason.
This question is also for Martin. I'm probably related to the same thing. I was wondering when you were talking about immunosuppressing the pig for the pig, was that just because you were putting human cells into them, or was it because actually, because I've heard about the induced pluripotent stem cells actually inducing immune response on their own, whether they're...
Yeah, in this case, these are xenograft experiments. So we go with the human cells to different animal species. So you have to do really very aggressive immunosuppression if it's rodent or mini pig. Yeah.
Alan, going from mouse to humans, how big does the capsule have to be to have enough beta cell to reverse diabetes in a human?
So that's the million-dollar question now, but we simply don't know the answer to that. I mean, obviously, the devices we're using right now are appropriate devices to put into rodents. You can't put a human-sized device into a rodent. We are scaling the device. What we can tell you is the real estate inside the device determines the outcome. So you can put tenfold different number of cells within the device and you get the same outcome in terms of C-peptide released after a glucose-stimulated bolus. So we simply are not going to be able to answer that question until we get into humans, but we are making devices that are significantly bigger than the rodent device at this point in time. That's a very good question, but I don't have the answer.
This question to Inder. It was very elegantly demonstrated that the genetics apparently prevail over the cell of origin, and in sync with the Throndipina published several years ago using glial cells versus like glial progenitor cells. The question, my question is, if I remember correctly, you can infect cells in the cortex and dentate gyrus and SVZ, and they will be all glial cells. But the efficiency of tumor formation is kind of very different from those organs. And they all come from GFAP positive cells. So can you elaborate a little bit on that?
So perhaps, again, lack of time. If you take Nestin positive cells, if you take cortex, which is Nestin Cre, you can actually make tumors. You make very few because there are very few Nestin positive cells. But if you have a GFAP in the cortex, you make many more tumors. So it really depends on the number of cells that you have there. But there is no issue in terms of the cell type you have there. It's just the prevalence of them. So you make them, but it's just like 1 out of 10. Whereas the GFAP, there are many more glial cells. You make 9 out of 10 tumors. So they make perfectly fine tumors otherwise.
I just wanted to ask a question of Dr. Carson. When you were talking about the R1 antibody and that works with the WNT5A pathway, do you know that in the leukemia that's a pathway that contributes to the leukemia? In other words, would the antibody interfere with a biological effect, or are you relying on the cell-mediated killing only? So is it both? What do you know about the mechanism of action?
In the mouse transgenic models, the RR1 protein contributes to the aggressiveness of the tumor, and its knockdown blocks the aggressiveness. In the human, we don't know because the cells don't actually propagate in the animals. They do survive, but it's so indolent that we can't fully evaluate that. I think to get the maximum effect, we're hoping that the murine studies will be predictive and that the antibody will have intrinsic bio value without ADCC or drug conjugation.
Okay. See, now that I've hiked all the way up these steps, are there no questions being formulated above this line here? I mean, you guys got no questions? It's your chance. I'm up here.
I have one over here,
Roger. There's one down there, then. Go ahead.
So, Inder, one of the characteristics of the glioblastomas is they have very high exosome activity, both sending things out as well as bringing things in, and could be transporting both the protein as well as the RNA to the neighboring cells. And what I'm questioning is some of the sort of what appears to be this multi-differentiation and multi with Nestin and GFAP, is possible that some of these cells are showing these markers not because they've been changed,
but because they are gaining these, either the RNA or the protein that you're detecting by immunostaining through exosome activity?
I can't answer that question. I don't know. We haven't looked at it. I doubt it, but we haven't looked at it. Thanks for asking.
Aline?
I have a question for Dr. Masala, and that is, if I understand correctly, using wild-type astrocytes prevents or dilutes out the inherent toxicity in the SOD animals, and presumably that slows down the loss of motor neurons. If that is the model, and you inject in wild-type astrocytes, number one, how long do they survive? Do you have to do this multiple times? And number two, how much can you retard the disease or slow the progression?
Yeah, I think it's especially the second question is very good. The first one, the longest survival time which we tested with, for example, with neural stem cells was up to 3 months. With ES-derived NSCs, we went up to 8 weeks, 2 months. We have some data now from 77 days, and so it's always single injection. So we don't repeat procedures. It would be very difficult because you have already fibrotic tissue developed over the laminectomy. And the key question for us is in what age of animals to do transplantation, because now we have additional data which clearly shows the activation of caspase 3 system in very young animals. So we are really pushing our grafting dates to very young animals, 40 days at the moment.
A follow-up is that ALS patients, as I understand it, eventually die because of respiratory arrest.
Yeah.
Will, in a clinical trial, will you target, you know, the neurons that drive the diaphragm, or what populations do you think you'll go for?
Yes, in our design, we are starting with lumbar injections just for proof of principle. So we are measuring connectivity at lumbar level. But in second stage, we'll be also targeting C3 to C5, 6 segments, starting with unilateral injection. And if safety looks good, we'll do bilateral injections. And this is exactly what design which is currently being used in clinical trial. And again, Nick will be talking about the cervical patients, I believe so.
Okay, I think we have to transition. Did you want to say one last thing, Pat? Or
no, I just wanted to thank all members of the panel and for a great discussion, and thank you all.
Exactly what I was going to say.